What's up, M12? How y'all doing tonight? Not that good, I guess. Well, I'm so excited to be with you guys here tonight, and I really believe that God has something for every one of you. So listen up, because guys, here's the deal. I don't want you to see me up here speaking. All right? I want you to hear what God has for you. So I'm super, super excited about tonight. And as you can see from the bumper and from all three screens behind me, we are in a series called Next. Okay, and like I shared a little bit last week, God has called me to my next. Okay? This is something, I mean, it comes with mixed emotions. It's kind of, I've been telling everyone it's bittersweet. Because on the one hand, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to be pretty bummed when I have to leave you guys. Because I love you guys. I'm so glad to be here with you guys. You guys have taught me so much. And that's the hard thing about a two-year residency, is I'm here for 2 years. I get to hang out with you guys. We get connected. And then they just like boot me out. No, I'm just kidding. It's my own. This is what the residency is they train you up for 2 years and then you move on. But on the other hand, I am super, super excited for what God has next for me. I'm really, really excited about that. And I've been praying about it, and I'm super pumped about that. So that's what I'm really excited about. So like I said, it's bittersweet because I have to leave you guys. I know. But hey, whoa, easy. Don't start throwing like rotten tomatoes or anything. But on the other hand, I get to go to a great church. It's called Grace Fellowship. And I'm going to be the youth pastor, like I told some of you guys last week. If you weren't here and this is news to you, I'm sorry. But I'm going to be the youth pastor at a church called Grace Fellowship Church in DeMott, Indiana. It's about an hour south of Chicago. So if you guys are ever in Chicago, I mean, look me up, right? And if you guys, I mean, here's the deal. If you guys want to keep up with Emily and I, you can check, you know, Instagram, Facebook, all that kind of stuff. Or you can ask Pastor Stephen, because we're going to be in contact with each other. We're great friends. And I want to take just a second here. I want to take just a second and brag on Pastor Stephen for a second. He doesn't know that I'm doing this. I promise if he did, he'd probably fire me. But he can't because I'm leaving. So I'm going to do it anyway. You guys literally have the best middle school pastor in the country. You do. He is the best middle school pastor in the country. Yeah. So I want you guys to value him, okay? He has taught me so much personally. If you have time, go up to him and thank him, because he loves God and he loves you guys. Okay, so if you have time, go ahead and thank him when you see him, not right now, but go and thank him when you have time. And here's the deal about Pastor Stephen. He's not only my boss, but he's also a really, really good friend of mine. And he's even gonna help me through my next. He's gonna help me in my next steps, and we're gonna stay in contact and stuff like that. But you see, we all go through different steps and seasons of next, right? We all have different seasons of next. For all of us, our next season is summer. Yeah? Yeah. Who's excited about summer? Woo! Who's excited about the summer kickoff, May 28th? You guys need to be there. All right? So for all of us, the next is summer, right? But for all of us, school is going to start up again. And your next may be going to high school. If you're in eighth grade, your next step, yeah, where are my eighth graders at? Woo! High school, here we come. That's right. So if you're in eighth grade, your next step may be high school. For some of you, there's no reason to talk right now. For some of you guys, you might be joining a new band or a new club or something like that, and that might be your next. For others of you, your next might be, I don't know, moving or going somewhere different. But I know one thing is true about the next for all of us. In every next step, there are friendships. Okay, that's the bottom line of today. In every next, there are friendships. You either have friends that are already there, or maybe you have friends that you're going to make along the way. But in every next, there are friendships. And that's what we're going to kind of go through today for the rest of our time, is looking at what does it mean to have a good, solid, lasting friendship that matters? What does that look like to us? And when I say good friend, for some of you girls out there, you might think of that friend that you have the best friend bracelet. Do some of you guys have, or, yeah, maybe, or like a best friend necklace or something like that. Or maybe for you girls, when I say good friend, you might think of like, you know, your girl that you call every time you want to talk about boys. Yeah. So that might be a good friend for you. For guys, hey, for guys, your good friend, he might be your wingman, right? I mean, because everybody's got to have a good wingman when they go up to talk to the ladies, right? So that might be what you think of. For some of you other guys, it might be a guy that you can text or call. No one really calls anymore. They just text, right? But you just text them, you're like, hey, come on over and we'll play video games for like all night and stay up with Mountain Dew and Twinkies or something like that. Yeah. That might be what you think of. That might be what you think of when you think of having a good friend. But today, tonight, we're going to dive into something deeper. We're going to look what it means to be an actual true good friend. And before we go there, there's one thing that I want to make sure that everyone knows about friendship. Okay? With friendship comes influence, and with influence comes a choice. I'm going to say that again because that's important. With friendship comes influence, and with influence comes a choice. You see, you can either choose to use your influence for good or to use your influence for bad. But everyone has influence. Not only do you have influence on other people, but other people and your friends have influence on you. You see, in 1 Corinthians 15, 33, it says this: do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. If you're hanging out with those people that, you know, your parents know that they wouldn't want you to be hanging out with them, that's gonna corrupt you. Because they have influence in your life. I once was listening to a talk of a guy. He was a former Ohio State running back. Go Buckeyes. Oh, come on. All right. But his name was, His name was Maurice Claret, and he said this quote, and I'll never forget it. He said, "Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future." Did you guys get that? He said, "Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future." You see, I love that statement because he's pretty much saying, you know, the friends that you hang out with, in part, that's going to determine who you are. The friends that you're hanging out with, that you're, you know, chilling with, those are the people who are going to help shape the person that you are. And when I say influence, I mean they have an impact on your life. So if you guys don't know what influence is, that means that they have some sort of an impact on your life. For example, okay, when I was in middle school, I had this friend that I always looked up to because he was older than me and he had influence in my life. When he would tell me to do something, I pretty much did it because I was like, man, this guy knows best. I'm really good friends with him. He probably knows what I should be doing. He's older than me. He had influence in my life. And I had been friends with this guy for a while. And we've been friends all throughout middle school. And this was during one of my middle school years. And he convinced me to do something that I knew deep down within that I knew it wasn't okay. It wasn't right to do. But he had influence in my life. So I was down. You know, I was down to do this. He told me, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sneak out. When your parents go to bed, we're going to sneak out and we're going to go to a party at this guy's house. No. No. That's not good. That's not good. So my parents went to bed. My parents went to bed, and there I went, scurrying out of the house. I was like, all right, we're going to do this. Let's go to that party. So we show up to the guy's house, and there was actually no party because he got in trouble. So he wasn't allowed to have the party that night. And once I got there, I started feeling really, really bad. I was like, oh, gosh. Like, what if I get caught? I'm going to get in so much trouble. You know, all this kind of stuff. So I run back home and I kind of climb back into my bed. And thankfully, I never actually got in trouble for that. But that was the night that I realized I can't be hanging out with this guy anymore. I'm going to have to choose different friends because if I claim to be a Christian and if I want to be more like Christ, then I'm going to have to find a friend who's pushing me that way. I'm going to have to find a friend whose influence is pushing me towards Christ and not one who's drawing me away from Christ. And one of the coolest stories about such a good friendship and such a good influence is a story in the Bible from a guy named Jonathan and David. And do you guys remember David from David and Goliath? Remember, everybody remember that story? Yeah, that's the same dude. That's the same David. Now, have you guys heard of Jonathan before? Okay, a few of you have, but not as many. That's all right. But I want to tell a little bit of their story, and then we're going to take kind of two lessons that we can learn from their story. So when David had slayed Goliath, when he killed Goliath, at this time, Saul was the king. Okay, he was the king over Israel when David killed Goliath. And Saul was super happy about this, okay? And Jonathan was Saul's son. Okay, so Jonathan is heir to the throne. He was the one that's getting ready to come up and be the next king, right? Because he's Saul's son. Later on in the story, everyone starts to realize that God actually has David to become the next king. So no longer is it going to be Jonathan, the one that's supposed to become king, but David is the one that's going to become king now. And Saul starts to get a little angry. Okay, he's kind of getting angry. And he realizes, okay, Saul realizes that God has left him and he's gone with David. God's favor completely left Saul and went over with David. And that's even what it says in the scripture. So Saul tries to kill David. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine being that mad that you're trying to kill someone? So Saul's trying to kill David, but even in the midst of that, Jonathan stands up for David. Jonathan's like, no, don't kill him. I know, and God knows that he's supposed to be the next king. Excuse me. Now, I want to read from 1 Samuel to figure out what made their friendship so important and so good, so awesome. So if you want to, turn to page 286 in the Bible, either underneath you or in front of you, to 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4. So it's 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and read, and I want you guys just to listen up, all right? If you're there, awesome. If you're not, that's all right too. Just listen up. It says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. Did you guys catch that? It said, and he loved him as himself. Okay, so hold on to that. Hold on to that right there. From that day, Saul kept David with him. It did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. There it is again. He said he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off his robe he was wearing, and this robe is the symbol that Jonathan is going to be the next king, okay? So Jonathan takes off this robe and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. So Jonathan is taking all this off, and he's saying, here, David, I know that you are supposed to be the next king, so I'm going to give this over to you. You remember when in the verse it says Jonathan became one in spirit with David and he loved him as himself. As I was reading through the story and as I was kind of studying it and I was kind of breaking it apart, and I was wondering, what can we learn from the friendship of Jonathan and David? And there are two lessons that I pulled from this. Two kind of aspects that I pulled from this that I think are going to help us become good friends and have good friends. Okay, so the first one that we see is that a good friend puts their friend above themselves. Okay, a good friend puts their friend above themselves. And what do I mean by this? It means you're thinking of your friend before you think of yourself. Okay, you're loving your friend as you would love yourself. And we're called to do this. We're called to love our friends as ourselves. And it sounds simple, right? It sounds really easy to do. But it's not. A lot of times, that is not an easy thing to do. And the root behind that, the reason behind that, is because all of us are born with this selfishness, right? All of us kind of want to, you know, we always want to talk about ourselves. We always want to, you know, think about ourselves. We always want to kind of to do what we want to do. And sometimes we get so focused on us and so focused on what we want to do that we don't ever really focus on our friend. And we don't ever really focus or worry about putting them first. So think with me here for just a second, okay? I want you guys to kind of put yourselves in these shoes here of putting your friend above yourself. Would you rather have a friend who always talks about themselves and talks about what they want to do and always watches their own movies and all that kind of stuff? Or would you rather have a friend who is always wanting to hear about your life, wanting to do what you want to do, wanting to listen to what you have to say? You'd rather have this kind of friend, right? You'd rather have the friend that wants to listen to you and wants to do what you want to do, right? Right? Okay, shoo. I was making sure that I was talking to a live crowd here. But you see, you want this kind of friend. You want the kind of friend who is talking about what you want to talk about. So be that kind of friend. That's the kind of friend that you want. That's the kind of friend that you should be. We see a great example of this in the story of Jonathan and David, right? I mean, if you look at the story, Jonathan would have much rather have been king. But he knew that's what God wanted. And he was putting David above himself. He was making sure that he was putting David above himself. So a good friend puts their friend above themselves. The second lesson, and I believe the most important lesson, is that a good friend points their friend to God. And that's the most important lesson. A good friend points their friend to God. Friendships should be more than just having fun with each other, right? I mean, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have fun. If you even kind of know me, I love to have fun. I mean, people call me a mushroom because I'm a fun guy. Yeah? Yeah? But I know, laugh it up. It wasn't that funny, guys. But I'm not saying, you guys get it? Because mushrooms are fungus. You get it? But I'm not saying that we shouldn't have fun, okay? But if that's all we do, if all we do is having fun, then our friendships are meaningless. If all we do is just kind of hang out, play video games, talk with each other about nothing, then our friendships are meaningless. To make your friendships meaningful, you need to point your friend towards God. At the end of your life, your friendships won't matter unless they were used in some way to point your friend to have a relationship with Christ or to point them even closer to God. That's how we have a meaningful relationship. If we're pointing our friend back to God. And if you're gonna hang around people who are a bad influence, because if you remember earlier, we all have influence. Every single one of us has an influence. But if you remember, if you're hanging out with people who are a bad influence in your life, then they're not going to point you towards God. They're going to drag you away from God. All right? They're going to drag that out of you. So find friends, a good friend with a good influence. And we can see all throughout Jonathan and David's friendship that they were a good influence on each other. Right? They were lifting each other up. They were pointing each other towards God. Jonathan and David's friendship endured even when it became clear that David was going to replace Jonathan as a successor to the throne because Jonathan knew that's what God wanted. Okay, so their friendship endured even through the time when David was going to take Jonathan's spot because Jonathan knew that that's what God wanted. And he knew that that's how he was going to point David back to God. And those are the kind of friends that you want to have, and those are the kind of friends that you want to be. Someone with good influence. Someone that is going to put you first, and someone that's going to point you back to God. And I told a story earlier about a friend in middle school that had a bad influence on me. Do you remember that? Yeah. About when, you know, he told me to sneak out and all that kind of stuff. Well, the opposite was true in college. Okay, I had a friend who was an amazing friend. He would put me above himself and he would point me towards God. He was the greatest friend, one of the greatest friends that I ever had. He pointed me towards God so that my relationship with God grew. And through that, I was a good friend to him, and I pushed him closer to God, and his relationship with God grew. So through our friendship, we became closer with God, and that's what your friendships need to be a part of. So it's not enough just to know that to be a good friend, you need to put your friend before yourself, and that you need to put them or point them towards God. But you have to actually put this into action. Okay, so I want to give you a couple of practical things that are going to help you become a good friend, help you in this. So the next time that you're hanging out with your friend and they want to go to a certain store in the mall, ladies, go with them to that store, right? For guys, maybe you guys are getting ready to play a video game and they want to play one and you want to play the other. They want to play Call of Duty and you want to play Madden. I don't know. Play Call of Duty, okay? Do something that they want to do. Put them above yourself. When it comes to pointing friends to God, it could literally be as easy as texting your friend a Bible verse and saying, hey, what do you think about this? What are your thoughts about this verse? Or it could be sending like an encouragement text, okay, pointing your friends closer to God. Or it could be more than that. Pointing your friend to God could be, you know, maybe you and your friend hang out and you go through a Bible study. You go through a book of the Bible and you're talking about God and who God is and his characteristics and things about God. Now, obviously, these are not all of the characteristics of a good friendship, right? Or of a good friend. There are more. But these are the ones that I think are super, super important, especially that your friend, to be a good friend, you need to point your friend to God. That's what I think is the most important characteristic of a good friend. And those are a couple of the ones that I found and the story of Jonathan and David. And I encourage you guys to look up this story because it's an amazing story and you can learn so much from that. So, I'm okay. Before I take off, before I leave you guys, okay? Shh, it's okay. All right? I need everybody to listen. Everybody listen. I want you guys to know something. In every next, we have friendships. And all of you, every single one of you, all right, even you guys back there, yeah, all of you, every single one of you, yeah, hey, listen. Shh. Every single one of you has influence. Every single one of you has influence. So use your influence for good. Use your influence to put other people before you. Use your influence to point others to God. All right? Use your influence for good. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are. God, thank you for loving us. God, we pray that we would be able to use our influence to point others towards you. God, that we would have a good influence on other people, God, and that we would hang out with people who are a good influence to us. God, thank you for friends. Thank you that we don't always have to be alone. God, we love you. We thank you, God. And before I leave, God, I just pray for every single one of these students. God, that over the course of their middle school years and high school years and on, God, that they would continually fall more in love with you. God, that they would grow even closer to you day by day, God. We thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for us. God, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.